Have you ever been called hysterical? It's not a word men hear a lot, but for women living before the 20th century, it used to be an actual medical condition, derived from antiquated theories about the uterus. But doctors' tendency to misdiagnose women is not entirely a thing of the past. Essayist Alyssa Bassist has written a funny and moving memoir of her misadventures in the medical system as she tries to get to the bottom of a variety of health issues. The book is called Hysterical, a Memoir. And Alyssa joins us now to share five of her big ideas.
Hi, my name is Alyssa Bassist, and I'm a longtime editor, humor writing teacher, and author of the award-deserving memoir, Hysterical, a medical mystery, cultural critique, and rally cry about how a woman's voice develops, or doesn't, in a world where men talk and women are supposed to shut up. This expectation of a woman's silence made me sick. Stop me if you've heard this one. Hysteria. The diagnosis for overdramatic people with uteruses who have too many feelings and lie about their bodies hurting. Feminists have been trying to squash that biased diagnosis for centuries, for as long as hysteria has been used against women, to rid us not of our pain, but of our sanity, agency, and voice, by classifying a woman's physical or unexplained pain as psychological. I was one of those squashers, and then I got sick with a mysterious illness, or rather, a ton of mysterious illnesses, joining the millions of American women in indescribable chronic pain. Long memoir short, after seeing over 20 medical professionals and amateurs, an acupuncturist said, part of my problem pertained to my voice and to what I wasn't saying, and that talking would help cure me. Here are five insights from my memoir, Hysterical, on how to find and reclaim your authentic voice if you've lost it, and how, as Jorge Luis Borges said, the soul is contained in the human voice. Insight number one, you are not imagining it. What if nothing's wrong with you? A gastroenterologist asked me the day before she called with the results of my blood work that revealed a fatal disease. For 2 years of my life, one doctor led to another, and I had no diagnosis. Or the diagnosis was that nothing was wrong with me, or that I had a mental illness. This is medical gaslighting. When doctors brush off your concerns or delay treatment or describe you, a person in pain, as oversensitive. It causes pointless suffering and even death. And if you're a woman, BIPOC, LGBTQIA+, or older, then you're more likely to endure it. Red flags that I ignored because I wanted to be a good patient and not annoy anyone were dismissive questions about my symptoms that made me feel unimportant and ridiculous. Like, are you even in the pain that you say you're in? The average white man has shorter wait times for appointments and diagnoses, is given pain medication when he needs it, and even if he doesn't, is referred for tests, is listened to and believed. So when that doesn't happen, then question it. We are the experts of and authorities on our own bodies. When something's wrong, we know it. We feel it. We're in bed because of it. We're not making it up. And no one in a position to save us should assume we are. Insight number two. You're not crazy. You're crazy. Every woman has heard it at least 1,000 times. Some doctors didn't think I was sick. They thought I was crazy. In 2017, former presidential aide Jason Miller called then-Senator Kamala Harris hysterical during a hearing over Jeff Sessions' collusion with Russia during the 2016 election. I mean, she was asking some tough questions, Miller offered as proof. Labels like crazy and hysterical collapse the distinction between vocal, inquisitive, emotional, irrational, neurotic, insane, melodramatic, hormonal, oversensitive, irritating, and clinical, until vocal itself is a symptom, until expressive women are mad women whether or not we're mad or ill or mentally ill. And we're drugged all the same. Women are overdiagnosed and over-medicated for mental illness, but we're undertreated for physical ailments and are more prone to chronic pain. One study estimated that up to a third of patients in primary care have medically unexplained symptoms, and about 70% are women. The medical institution needs only a small revolution. Listen to and believe women and marginalized communities. Stop telling women to lose weight as a cure-all. Treat a woman's body like the human body. Include women in medical research. Test medications on women. Teach menopause in medical school. And delete the words crazy and hysterical from the medical vocabulary. Insight number 3, emotional pain can become physical pain. Being called crazy or any synonym keeps women quiet while keeping us crazy. It also keeps us in pain, which keeps us powerless. And that made me really, really, really mad. But I didn't say I was mad. Not until someone asked. Every undiagnosed sick person will hear, "Have you tried acupuncture?" I did. "Are you angry?" the acupuncturist asked me at our initial session. "Yes," I said, without thought or mercy. She asked me how often I was angry. "All the time." She asked me if I had expressed my anger. I laughed, like this was an option. Like anger did not have to be extracted from my mouth like wisdom teeth. She suggested that repressed rage was a contributing factor, if not a catalyzing force, of my physical maladies. She was, in a way, saying I was hysterical. But, plot twist, there's truth to the connection between mind, body, and throat, to the inside transcribing on the outside in the form of intense pain along the nerves. Today's mind-body doctors theorize that some physical pain is, in fact, repressed emotional pain finding expression, that emotions like rage pile up in the unconscious, going unarticulated until they hit max capacity and tell the brain to create physical symptoms. Basically, if you don't share your story, your pain will tell it for you. Insight number 4. Silence can make us sick. Women have been taught to be ladylike, quiet, polite, deferential, and selfless. And because of this, we report our pain less than men, and we repress it. Speaking up for myself was not how I learned English. Instead, I became fluent in apology, in asking for it, in miscommunication, in suppression. I felt like I had to say things just right, to fit in at work or in a relationship. Per news stories ad infinitum, women have everything to lose and almost nothing to gain from speaking up or emoting or whistleblowing. And my experiences across time and space reinforce silence as my best option. My inability to speak up for myself became so extreme that I was referred to an OCD specialist. My silence had metastasized into an obsessive fear of saying the wrong thing that compelled me to interrogate, edit, and censor myself compulsively, which, among other factors, made me physically ill. Repression is known to cause digestive havoc, respiratory problems, full body stress, and it imperils our minds, bodies, and souls like a virus by reducing agency, compromising thinking and sense of self, while isolating and disempowering us. And women, who should be seen and not heard, are uniquely susceptible to incommunicable physical pain of no origin. Insight number 5, risk. The acupuncturist who diagnosed my rage prescribed a talking cure, as if treating the voice would treat the problem. It did. In the 19th century, a woman, the mute, hysteric Anna O., whose real name was Bertha Pappenheim and who later founded the Jewish feminist movement, came up with the term the talking cure to describe how expression restored sanity and health. Her doctor was Dr. Freud's colleague, Both men helped hysterical patients by getting them to talk about what they couldn't. Then they put the unnameable into a narrative and the symptoms into a critical interpretation, after which the symptoms dissipated. Then, in the 1980s, psychologist James Pennebaker found that expressive writing, his theory that writing one's wounds helps close them, improved immune function. Expression helps women especially. Author Soraya Chemeley writes in Rage Becomes Her, The Power of Women's Anger, about research showing the survival rate for women with breast cancer who expressed their anger was twice that of women who kept their anger to themselves. Part of my survival was learning to voice my every emotion and to speak up for myself, with doctors and in general, about everything I'd been told not to talk about because it wasn't nice. But since my survival instinct was to stay quiet, speaking up was simple, but not easy. It's risk, my OCD specialist told me. Risk going against lifetimes of socialization. Risk saying the wrong thing. Risk being perceived as unreasonable and risk being called unlikable. Risk demanding help. Risk again and again, like your life depends on it, because it does. Because your voice is as essential as your breath or your heartbeat. Thank you for listening to me. I hope you enjoy my book, Hysterical, and I look forward to your compliments.
Thank you, Alyssa. That was Alyssa Bassist with 5 big ideas from Hysterical, a memoir. For another take on the topic, check out our book bite for The Pain Gap, How Sexism and Racism in Healthcare Kill Women. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.